Media Do International brings you all of the love with digital BL books from Kombucha. Don't miss the comedic Professor Strangelove, Tender, A Story of Love That I Do Not Know, High Stakes of Mahjong Parlor of Love, and the sweet steaminess of Patisserie of Love. Available now at your favorite digital retailers. For more BL content, follow MDI_BL on Twitter. Stay to the end of the episode to learn how you can win a free shikishi from Tomoe Sasahara, exclusively from Media Do and Kobunsha.
In the effort of transparency and fairness, some of our group members who may or may not be participating in this episode may work for sponsors and/or in the broader industry. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are their own and do not represent the views and opinions of their employers. Additionally, any sponsorship Yale Garden or Fujokan receives from these organizations is handled by our PR rep, and our members with industry ties have no role in soliciting or obtaining these sponsorships.
Now on to the podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 801 Reviewed. I'm your host, Izora, and today I'm with my co-host, Charles, Kit, and Koi. And we will be discussing The Scum Villain Self-Saving System by MXTX. Koi, did you want to go ahead and introduce the title?
Sure. The Scum Villain's Self-Saving System is a Chinese Danmei novel printed by Seven Seas. This is a non-spoiler synopsis. This is a story about a half-demon, Luo Binghe, rose from humble beginnings and a tortured past to become unrivaled in strength and beauty with his harem of over 300 wives and domination over both the human and demonic realms. He is truly the most powerful protagonist in a trashy web novel series. At least that's what Sun Yuan, online alias name Perilous Cucumber, believes as he finishes reading the final chapter in Proud Immortal Demon Way. But when a combination of rage and poor meal choice leads to his death, Sun Yuan finds himself reborn into the world of the web novel in the body of Sun Qingqiu, the beautiful but cruel teacher to a young Luo Binghe. Although, as Sun Qingqiu, he knows that he now has incredible power and abilities as a cultivator. He's destined to be horrifically punished for crimes against the protagonist. So this new Sun Qingqiu has only one course of action: get into Luo Binghe's good graces before the young man's rise to power. That's the only way he'll escape the awful fate of a true scum villain.
Woo! All right, so let's go ahead and start with our questions. What first attracted you to this title, Charles?
I knew about MXTX through Mo Dao Zuxi, Grandmaster of Demonic Cultivation. And I went and read her other two novels also. So that's how I knew this one.
Yeah, pretty much the same for me, except I also waited to read this one last. I'm kind of sad I did because it's really funny and a lot of fun. And I'm excited that book two comes out soon.
Can't wait.
Yes. So I was in the same boat. I read these novels in Chinese, so a long time ago. The first book, of course, I read was Mo Dao Zuxi, which is, you know, Grandmaster of Demonic Cultivation. And I think my second one was still Heaven Official's Blessing. And then the third one was this one. But the funny thing is, Grandmaster is actually the second book she wrote. Mo Xiang Toshio wrote this one, Scum Villain, first. And so this is her first novel. So I kind of read it in a weird series of books instead of the first one first. So that was interesting.
So I know our next question. We've had several light novels be translated over, and sometimes you try reading those things, and we've all had that awful translation that we're like, who translated this? So the big question with light novels, the big risk is, how is the translation? Kit, do you want to go ahead and start?
Yeah, so I really like it. I think they've done a really good job of keeping some of the still Chinese terms with like footnotes at the bottom so that we can still understand, you know, what it means, but read it in kind of the original meaning. And I think it's really well done. The book reads quite well. overall, this definitely feels like somebody's first novel. Not that that's a bad thing, but like compared to Modal and Heaven Officials, you can kind of tell like, oh, okay, she was just starting on this whole like adventure of writing about cultivators. But I like it. I thought the translation's really good. It's an easy read. I don't feel lost with terms because, like I said, there's a glossary in the back. There's always footnotes when they introduce something for the first time. So it's well done.
I did not read it in the translation version from Seven Seas, but I did check it out before, like, kind of a couple of pages. And it did seem like the translation overall from, like, what I've seen was very clear and understanding. It's very easy for English reader to understand the terminology. Like Kit said, the glossary's in the back. What I really liked about it too is that there's pictures in the book, and that was really, really cool.
Yes, I love that they included art. So good.
That's like the light novel experience. That's what I want.
Yes.
I think it was, I never was up to date with any of the fan translations or the original translations, but when I read the English translation, the official translation that we got, it wasn't hard to follow. I did have the help of already being familiar with kind of the structure and the cultivation world. I think that helps, but it's not impossible to read without that knowledge. I really thought it was funny. I thought it was easy to follow. I never ran across a sentence that was just nonsensical, like you get with really bad translations where you're like, that sentence doesn't make sense in any universe. But I never ran across that. In fact, one of the things that's the hardest thing to translate are like idioms or things or references to like kind of things of ways of saying things like it's raining cats and dogs. Those are the hardest things to translate. And they did really well with those. They either used colloquialisms that we would know and recognize that were pertinent, or they made a footnote to help you understand it. There was one in particular in this title, not in the other ones, that I forgot what it was, but it was something like pulling a tiger by its tail or something like that. I don't remember. It basically meant an impossible task, and they had that and they had the footnote, and so it made it easy to correlate the idea and concept with the phrase.
Yeah, I would agree with that because I wrote this down. Something that the system says at the very beginning, which is, I guess, like a Chinese internet slang, which is you can, you up, no can, no BB, which they translated as in a footnote. If you're capable, then do it. If you're not, shut the fuck up. So I guess it's like all talk, no action.
Kind yeah.
Of the,
yes.
Like, if you're not going to do anything about it, just stop complaining and go away.
Oh my God, that was
great. We need
great.
More of that. Yes, I really liked that. So the big question is we've all read pretty much all of this author's books. So what is the difference and what is sort of the same between the author's other works when we compare it to Grandmaster of Demonic Cultivation or Heaven's Official Blessing?
Well, it's really different in most ways, I would say. Now, they're all about cultivation, but they all kind of focus on a different sort of aspect of that. Because, so, in Modal Zushi, they are all on Earth cultivating, and they're normal people. In this one, or in Heaven's Official Blessing, I'll say first, they're up in heaven, and they're already gods, and they're not immortals, they're actual gods, I guess. And in this one, there are people who actually are already immortals that are training people to become immortals. So I guess they're sort of maybe in the middle. Anyway, that's different, even though it's all cultivation. They're sort of on a different aspect. And then on this one, it's super meta, where the main character is always breaking the fourth wall because he got isekai'd from our world into this world. And Siri is ruining his life while he tries to get out of it.
Siri, why?
Damn it, Siri.
So because of that, it's super different. And then I would say the comedy to angst ratio is way further weighted to comedy compared to the other two. I mean, they all have comedy in them, but this one is more comedy than angst, I would say.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot funnier. Like, not that there aren't funny moments in the other two series, but this one, I feel like, relies a lot heavier on the comedy. And that's probably just because, yeah, it is an isekai, so it's pretty bizarre. Like, it's not set in, like, this world that already has all this stuff going on. It's like, hey, he just got pulled into a novel from the real world because he's, like, all nerds and doesn't take care of himself.
And it's not even a good novel.
Yeah.
Like, yes, exactly.
It's one he complained about. Like, pretty much that's all he did is he sat at home reading it and complaining it. And I guess it also maybe should be a warning to those of us. We're not probably going to get sucked into a web novel that we complain about and eat vegetables.
Yeah.
Hydrate.
Be careful on what you comment in the internet, because, you know, you never know.
No flames.
If the system is checking, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Like, just take care of yourself if you're out there leaving scathing reviews on things, because it could come to bite you in the ass.
Or you'll be tronned.
Wouldn't that be the worst, just to be stuck in a crappy novel? Like, out of all of the hells you could be in.
I mean, right. Yeah, it's not terrible, but still hydrate and eat some vegetables, y'all. That's what this book teaches. It's not about the pretty gay boys. It's about taking care of yourself.
Yes, don't die, please. I agree. Charles actually really explained the difference very well. So in the Chinese culture, xianxia is a very popular web novel series genre that a lot of authors like to pick up to create. And of course, it's a very well-liked genre for BL Chinese fans. And of course, it's spreading now to be more global. I just really enjoy that. Basically, if you think about it, Scum Villain is like her idea of if somebody get isekai'd into Grandmaster storyline. Like, it's almost like the Scum Villain's world is kind of similar to the Grandmaster world, but because it's an isekai, it includes the humor in it, and it builds up that world that she's trying to study. So, like, Mo Xiangtoushou, like, really decided, I think, from Scum Villain that, hey, maybe I can write a really good cultivating world novel instead of the one that I described that was horrible in my isekai novel, you know, like she just decided that. So it's very similar. It's like of what Charles said. Basically, Scum Villain is a world where it's kind of like you're in a game, but the actual like xianxia world, the world that he gets sucked into, is actually the genre of, you know, where humans are cultivating to become immortals, and then that's very similar to Grandmaster. And then, of course, Heaven is, you know, where they're more into the becoming the immortal, becoming with titles that become gods and stuff like that. So it's like that. But those are mostly the difference. And then also, you can tell, because this is her first novel, you can tell that she has what she wants down, like the storyline, but it's very raw. The way that she writes is very raw. And the relationships are very straight to the point. Like, you can see it right away. Instead of, like, in Grandmaster and in Heaven, it's a lot of, like, mystery, a lot of, like, cliffhangers and, like, suspense, because you're trying to figure out what is going on, who is actually lying the whole time, and you had no idea. Like, there's so much layers to the story and character, whereas in Scum Villain, it's like, you don't really have to think too much, just enjoy the show. Everything is right in front of your face. Very, very clear.
Yeah, it's the main character has read the ending. He already knows what's going to happen, and so he's just anticipating things happening. He doesn't have to try to figure out who the snake in the grass is, kind of.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting to put it, because the other two are very much more mysterious. But this one, the mystery is out of it because he's already forewarned, but the question always is how is it going to change? He thinks this is going to happen. We know this is going to happen, but how is it going to be different this time around? Which I like, but it does take some of the mystery out of it.
Right. I was going to also mention, because of that, what you just mentioned, it's like in Grandmaster and in Heaven, oh, there's a lot of flashbacks. But in Scum Villain, it's a lot of, oh, this happened in the novel, but I'm changing it now. So it's not flashback. It's like, how do I change? Like you said, how do I change the outcome?
Yeah, there are a couple flashbacks, but they're real short, not like entire sections of the book. And it's always like, you unlocked a deleted scene kind of thing like that, which is hilarious.
Yes.
You're wrapping up plot holes and stuff. So
like, oh, I have a new memory.
So I think one of the best differences is the comedy. I think in isekai, if it took itself too seriously, like, it would just lose your attention. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important for the genre, for it to have that. But everything you guys said was very much on the point. If you're looking for a comedy that is easily digestible without being like, because sometimes you just don't want to read a book that's involved. Sometimes you just want to read a book that's funny and straightforward and entertaining. And that's how this one is. Whereas I feel like I have to like be in the mood to read a book that I have to be invested in as much as I'm emotionally invested in, say, Grandmaster of Demonic Cultivation. I have to be fully invested when I read that. This one I can just read and have fun.
Yeah. This one won't make you, like, cry. Like, you don't have to prepare a box of tissues like you do when you're reading Grandmaster and Heaven Official. And so this one is like, oh, okay. Like, maybe you want the tissues to wipe the tears of laughter. You know, that's more like it.
Yeah. And there's still some storylines that will make you go, oh my gosh, that's, like, sad storylines of things that are unlocked as the kind of Easter egg special plot hole. Mm-hmm. Scene type things as you go through the books, but it's still nothing like the other two.
And it's not like always comedy too. Like there are moments like what he knows is supposed to happen to him with the whole like terrible fate that he's trying to avoid. You're like, oh, that's dark.
Right.
I remember I was talking to someone after I had just finished it, and we had talked before about BL stuff. I think she watched The Untamed. And she was saying, how is Scumvillain? Should I read it? Oh, she was about to read. She said, but does anybody die? I don't want to read something where much people are going to die. Having read the whole thing, I couldn't remember anyone dying that it wasn't like told in the beginning, basically, that this person is a bad guy. They're going to die or something like that.
The main guy died in the very beginning because that's how he got isekai'd.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's only one, but she, at the end of e-reading it, she only came back one time and said, you didn't tell me so-and-so died? Because there's like only one character that is good or that you care about. And even then, a minor guy that whose name I can never remember, but it was a little bit sad when he died. In the grand scheme of things, basically no one dies. So let that be an indicator of how not angsty it can be and how un-tear-jerker-ish it will be. That's a big difference.
Right. And then just fair warning, in most cases for Chinese xianxia novels, like, they tend to have some kind of angst in the main character's romance story. They always want to build up that angst and then move on because it's like the push their romance storyline. So, you know, forewarn, it's not that bad in this one. This is actually one of like the very easy to read and get over, move on. Like, I've seen so many other ones that like take 10 lives to come back together. You know, it's not like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Reincarnation is not needed in this one so much.
Right.
One other thing that is very similar between the three books is a very common theme. Is that all three have a main character who is completely oblivious to love.
Oh my god, yes!
Oh, that's true.
Very true.
Oh my god.
They've all got slow burn.
Yes, all slow burn. And in Modazushi, he's oblivious, but the signs were subtle, you could say.
Yeah.
He didn't see the signs or he didn't remember things that he saw, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and then in Heaven Official's Blessing, it's kind of unclear when he figures out that the other guy loves him and that he loves the other guy. They're slow burn in this one. In this one,
he's just a moron. It's great.
Yeah. Lo Bing-he is, because of the way that he changes the story to not be killed, is immediately in love with him, basically. Yeah. Like puppy love. His little
It's puppy little love. Boy. It's definitely
and
puppy,
yeah. He doesn't seem to realize it at all.
At all.
No, I mean, he sees so that he great. Looks up to him, but he doesn't realize that, like, I will die for you.
He makes so many excuses.
Exactly. He thinks like it's like a student towards his master's like admiration type of love, but it's not. It's more like he definitely went towards the romantic side and he never thought about that.
He's just relieved that the guy doesn't hate him. He doesn't realize the extent of how much he loves him.
My thing is like, how did he not figure it out? Because the guy is like, oh, well, I have this harem of 300 women. And he thinks, oh, well, any guy like that would clearly never like a guy. And I'm like, but doth protest too much? Like, why does he need 300 women? Is he compensating for something?
Well, and also, like, the main character is just really trying to do everything he can to make sure he lives. So he's not thinking about somebody. The only feelings he's thinking about with Lu Binghua is just like, I need to make sure this guy does not hate me so much he wants to stab me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a mood?
It goes yeah. the other way hard. Yeah. Oh, the other thing I remembered was that what makes this also an easy read, especially if you haven't read any of these Xianxia type novels before, is that because its main character is not just breaking the fourth wall, he's outside the fourth wall looking in, kind of. They explain a lot of things in the text, not just in footnotes. They're like, yeah. I can't remember an example right now, but they do explain things like, in a stallion novel, you typically blah, 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 blah. And in this one, it went way overboard. So they don't assume you know what a stallion novel is, if assuming that's a real term. So anyway, that's another thing, too, is it does a lot of textually explaining stuff. That makes it a nice intro read.
It's like when he realizes he has powers, he's like, oh yeah, right, I have these powers because I'm in this novel now. And he sort of, it kind of goes over mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm powerful because I'm already a cultivator. And whereas other novels, they just have those powers and they don't ever take a moment to go, oh, I have these powers.
Yeah.
So I think that is it for our non-spoilers questions. For those who have read the novel and want to hear what we think about book one in English, book one, that's all we're going to talk about. I know some of y'all have gone out there and read all of it, and some of you are like us waiting and dying for the next volume. And if you've already read it, we're going to enter the spoiler zone.
Spoiler zone.
Spoiler zone. I love that part. Which character surprised you the most when you read this novel?
I had to really think about it, but one character I always thought about was Lu Chunggu, who is another peak master in that same sect. And so Shen Qingche goes to cultivate in a cave and just meditate for a mm-hmm. while for 3 years or something like that.
Yes.
And he encounters this other dude who's a total alpha male, like testosterone fueled guy who just fights and likes to get in fights, I guess, all the time. Something, if I remember correctly, his peak is all about physical strength and fighting or something. Anyway, he is having a chi deviation and about to go crazy and die. And I guess in the original novel, Shen Qingqiu hates him or double crosses him or something like that, but instead in this cave he saves him, and Lu Chunggu has no idea what to feel about it.
He's so confused.
He's confused, he's like, who are suspicious, you? Angry boy, like, who are you and what have you done? And the system, if he hadn't already unlocked OOC, which by this point I think he has, it would have been going, OOC warning, like big letters. Who are you and what have you done with Sheng Qingqiu? Yeah.
Yeah, that was such a great scene. Yeah.
And because he gets saved there, he comes back later a few times in clutch situations because now he owes that guy.
Yep.
He's just all, what the fuck?
That part was funny. He's just like, I'm suspicious, but also he saved my life, but I'm suspicious.
Yes.
For me, I mean, I have done my damnedest to not be spoiled on anything, which, considering, you know, Twitter and everyone just talking about them all the time, is not the easiest thing. So I guess I was actually surprised when Airplane shows up in the novel, in the system. I was like, wait, what? Because, yeah, I mean, you have Peerless Cucumber just complaining about the book still and the storyline while he's in it and now having to live it, which is just so funny. And then all of a sudden, oh no, he runs into the actual fucking author. And he only realized it, not that exactly it was the author, but definitely someone from his world, just because of a way he spoke. And it's just that scene, I was both dying and then just like, oh my god, of course he's gonna end up in his own novel, like, why not?
It was particularly because he said fuck.
Yeah, he said yes. Fuck, that's
yes,
right,
he said it.
Yeah, he used the word fuck, and immediately he's like, wait a second. Just
wait, why would you say that word, right?
Nobody around here knows that. Like, it was just, it was so funny. And I also,
Like, after I was like, okay, so obviously Airplane will become a character or everything, I then found out that their ship name is the funniest fucking thing. It's Cumplane, which A is what? Dirty. What? But also is complain because that's all fucking Cucumber does.
Oh my god.
Yes!
Oh my god.
And it's just the double meaning on all of that. The first time I saw it, I just like had to just get up and walk for a second because it was so good.
Oh my god. I'm dying.
That's such a good ship name. Like, I don't ship them, but holy fuck, that's a good ship name.
They're more like bros, you know? Bro ship.
Yeah. No, I get it. But people still ship what they ship and everything. But that name is so good.
It's
like, fuck.
So good. It is.
Yes. So, yeah.
Layers upon layers.
Layers! That, yeah.
It contains multitudes.
It does! And that's so brilliant. Like, I could write a goddamn dissertation on how good of a name that is, but... Mm-hmm. We don't have time for that.
You kind of stole mine, Kit. Mine was also him. He's probably the most surprising character to come into that storyline for me, because you don't expect the author in his own novel, or like to expect another character to be in the isekai of the main guy. And so that was the one that really like surprised me. So I'm not really going to talk about like that since you already mentioned it. But I will say overall, I think not character wise, but like the system, the way that she created the system really surprised me.
Yeah.
I think it's very refreshing because, you know, we've seen isekai, we've seen how lots of stories about how that works, but like the way that this author wrote it and the gifts and like exchanges of points and stuff like that was really fun. I just really liked the way that she created that world. So I was like, okay. So that's more of the surprise for me. If I really had to say another character that surprised me, not spoiler, just because it's a later book, is more when Luo Binghe comes back. And he's completely different. That was very, like, I knew what it was going to be like, but it felt really different. I was surprised how much he has changed.
Ooh.
It's like the whole bad boy CEO, like, on fire. Like, I was just like, okay.
I need the second book.
I'm so ready.
Okay, so most of us have read all of, or at least been through the first book of MXTX books. So, you know, Heaven's Official's love in there is like devotion. Like, oh, I am going to worship him. I'm devoted to him. Grandmaster's is more like, I will do everything to get him back. I will, you know, like, it's a very like patient type of love. Scumvillain, possessive, none other. Like super, super possessive type of love. Like super down to the core. Like, I don't care about anybody else. What I want is most important. I don't care about if you want it. If I want it, you listen to me. That type of so it's a very different main characters that like I just
their dynamic.
Yeah, their dynamic is so different.
So I think Airplane, I did not see that coming at all.
Definitely not.
No, but I think the characters which characterization surprised me the most was Ning Ying Ying, because I expected her to be so annoying. And I mean, he complained about her a lot, but at the end of the day, she actually is pretty clever. She catches on. She's not the helpless female victim that I thought she'd be. So I ended up actually liking her, which was surprising because I'm like, is she just gonna be the annoying girl on the side that I hate the whole time? But she really hasn't been. I've really liked her. And that surprised me because I'm like, usually I hate the girls in BL.
Yeah, this one has some good female characters. I also liked the other Lu Jingde's...
Oh, the veiled lady?
Yes, his sister, who's so beautiful. She has to wear a veil so that people can't see her. I don't remember.
Yes.
Do all the girls from that mountain wear veils? I don't think so. I think it's just
her. No, it's just her.
I think it's just her.
I think it's just her.
She fights the demon girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it a dance battle?
No, it's an actual fight.
Okay, in the animated series, which we'll get to later, it's a dance battle.
Oh, yeah!
It's sort of like a swordsmanship battle, but mostly they're just sort of dancing. It's a dance fighting.
God.
I don't know. But
that's perfect.
It's basically a dance-off.
Amazing.
The moment they fought, I was like, I ship it. So our next question is, we've talked a little about it, we've talked around it, but how did you feel about the system that controls the world? How did it differ from other isekais you have read or watched?
So I can't think of another isekai that I've read or watched. Somebody interject if you know of one that I have, but...
You didn't watch Sword Art Online?
No.
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Sword Art Online.
The system is so funny. It's hilarious. And I talked already about the you can, you up, no can, no BB. I broke up in the book to read the like first chapter and the last chapter today to remind myself how it started and where this book ended. And that's like the first thing it almost that it says to Shun is that. And that's the system. And then he has to get B points, and the way it's always changing things is... just everything about it is so funny. I laughed hard many times. And of course, OOC warning was just so, so good. And yes! It took me right back to fanfic yes. reading days where people.
Yes!
Like, love the system.
Yes. The system is honestly a great character in and of itself. I love how snarky it gets, and like when it stops talking to him after, you know, he's done some stuff, he's like, did I make the system mad? I really appreciate system. System is a bully also, which I also appreciate. And I've watched more isekais than I want to admit, but nothing like this. I mean, yeah, even the Sword Art Online and some of the other gaming ones, they've never really had like helpful, but they haven't had system like this, so.
Yeah, helpful would be overstating it quite a bit.
Yeah, I was like, not really helpful, but you know what? System is doing its job, okay?
Yeah, she's working hard. Because one other thing is, like, somebody mentioned earlier that once Luo Bingha is gone at the end of this book, before he comes back in the next book, the system is basically offline for updates.
Yes. Oh my god, updates.
And they're like, sorry, this is the AI bot standing in. He's like, oh, no, it's not. Like, it's just so
stupid. It's so funny.
It's like when someone picks up their voicemail, beep, leave a message.
Yeah.
And they're just like, it's you.
I know you're on there. Like, just talk to me. And it's like, nope, leave a message. Like, I love the system.
Yes. I think Kate mentioned it, and that's the difference that I see, is that in Scumvillain's storyline, the system is actually a character of its own. It really is. And in most other isekais that I've read or seen, it's not that way. There is another one that I've seen very similar. It's also a Chinese one. It's a normal, like, female-male romance story, and she goes into a world, and it's an isekai, and actually, I was going to tell you, it's a live-action series, so what they did was they actually made a person the actual system, like they had somebody act the system, so he became an actual character, like he became an AI with awareness and falls in love with the girl, but he's not the main character, so it's very sad storyline.
That's cute.
Oh my god, that's like End of the Woods.
Yeah, it's really like that storyline was actually quite interesting. I know this is not a Scumvillain, but that storyline was kind of interesting because he falls in love with her and then he breaks his system, and so basically for breaking rules he became a character in the world instead of the system, like he actually lost the ability to help her. But yeah, so that was the only other one that I can quite remember that's kind of similar. I love that it's really like for people who love to write, like for authors, this system actually cracks you up more because you can relate to it. You're like, oh, you're out of character. You get Bing for that. Oh, okay. You want to change the scene. And even like role playing people, like if you role play and you're like, oh, I need to change the scene. Like, oh, you have to build up points to change the scene. Or I love it when Sun Qingqiu, like, he works so hard to build up points, but then for one thing, like, and one thing, and oh, he has to do it, he loses so much of his points. poor kid. Yeah, so that's why, yeah, it's just so random, but, like, amazing. The point system really drives the story a lot, too, and so I really like that. It's not something that you can really just take out. If you take it out, you lose a lot of the humor in the storyline.
Yeah.
I think that really hit the nail on the head with the system being a character, because even with, I don't know how many of you guys have watched Slime, the time I got reincarnated into a slime, when Rimuru talks to the system, their system sort of guides them in the world, but it's not necessarily a person. It tells them, like, oh, this person's using this ability. It's more like a Pokedex than a person. But this is like if AO3 collectively became sentient and decided to control a game.
And he has attitude. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Because the system, you cannot tell me that it is not a Fujoshi or Fujin. It is out there just going, how do I change this to what I want?
Right.
It is all of our heads. It is exactly what you're thinking. And I think that's what makes systems so relatable to us. Because we're like, oh, same system. Same. The big scene in the end of this book. So after Shin Ching-chio stabbed Lua Binghe, and also with the surprise reveal of Airplane's real identity, what do you anticipate in the next novel? For those of us who have or have not read it.
So since I have read it, I'll just comment on a few things that happened there, which we've talked about already, but the Shang Qinghua airplane reveal really surprised me also when we read it. It is so funny. And he was like, are you airplane? He let out an involuntary, what the fuck? Like WTF or something like that. Now Shen Qingqiu can berate him for everything he hated about it. But then Airplane turns it around, yes. And he's like, you say you hate it, but clearly you memorized every single word of it. So I'm so happy to meet such a big fan.
Right.
You know? So.
Right.
Yes.
It's like, oh, you're a fan.
Didn't you comment on every chapter?
Yes, that was so good.
Yes, yes. I wanted to mention that this is a side note, if anybody wanted to know. According to MXTX, the author of the books, Airplane Towards the Sky, which is the author of
Proud Immortal Demon Way.
Yes, exactly. The way that he got transmitted into the novel by the author, like the author said this, is that he actually was making a cup ramen and it spilled on his computer and then he tripped over the wire, electrocuting himself to death. And so that's how he got it transmigrated.
That's perfect.
Good.
It's so funny.
Good. That's amazing.
And the fact that his character is just this like small like merchant idiot, like I love it.
Yes. Yeah, he's a pathetic character.
It's what he deserves.
Who's a double agent kind of, but also useless. And so yeah, he can't even fight. And also he's like, you think you have it rough. I was born into this isekai world as an infant and I had to grow up and become an adult. You just got to become a peak master all of a sudden. And so he is definitely being punished by the system for writing a terrible book full of plot holes by being a worthless character. Essentially worthless.
It's so good. It's so good.
And then one thing that made me upset when I read it, or not, I don't know if upset's the right word, but TO'd, is that Shen Qingqiu didn't have to stab Luo Binghe and kick him down to the demon realm. He could have just said, okay, listen, buddy, I need you to do this for me. And he would have done anything. Like, he would have gone voluntarily.
Yeah,
that's true.
So that's a very frustrating thing that happens. And so all of the second half of the second, or however many halves are left of this book, could have gone very differently if he did that. But in a moment of panic, he was like, well, I guess I can't be too OOC about this. I don't know. Anyway, you just have to see how that unfolds.
I always find that funny whenever he's like, I'm OOC, so let's make sure I do something that's in character.
You know? Right.
Like, it's like, what?
Like, he just has to make the thing happen. It doesn't matter how he does it. Talk to your boy.
Like, look, you'll be stronger for doing this, so I need you to go do it for me, okay? He would have been like, absolutely.
He wouldn't have even had to really explain. It's like, do this for your master is all he would have had to say. And have been like, okay. Like, fuck. The boy adores him.
He would have done it, right?
Yeah, he's so devoted. Like, he didn't, whatever. But you know what? We love the angst. We know we do. Mm-hmm. We love that it'll probably cause, well, I guess this is our time to speculate.
Yes.
So, I just assume what's going to happen is Lua Binghe is going to come back. And he's going to be hot as hell and also taller than his master and just, like, still an adorable sweet puppy, but an adorable sweet puppy who knows what he wants. And he's going to probably still not be as obvious because, again, we have mentioned that his master's not the brightest bulb in the box.
When it comes to that, he sure isn't.
No, he's not. And I look forward to the very awkward moments that are bound to happen. I mean, I hope there are, oh no, there's only one bed, and oh, we're freezing, we have to huddle for warmth. Like, give me all that cheesy shit, I'm ready, I want to see these two idiots become physical, and one of them still not realize it is all love, and yeah, that's, I don't know, there's probably another plot for, you know, whatever's going on in the actual world. But that's what I'm looking forward to and what I'm predicting. So
based on what you just said, we're going to need to have another episode once we finish it so we can discuss how we feel about things. Because I definitely felt some kind of way about the way that things pan out in this book.
Oh, yeah.
You will have to discuss.
Yes.
It,
it's a different feel, it goes, definitely.
It's not going where you think it's going, I think. You're going to wait a while.
No!
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, this is the author's first BL Shensha series. And when it comes to relationships and romance, she does not spend a lot of time in the story to really make you understand as much as like Grandmaster and Heaven. Like, you really can understand those characters. In this one, it's all action. A lot of it is just straight to the point, raw. And so it's very hard sometimes for the audience to be like, oh, that happened. Like, I understand, but no, this is like, oh, that happened, really? Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to say a big, big spoiler. So if you don't want to hear this part, it is a big, big spoiler. It's not exactly what I'm going to say that's in the book, but just for reference, if you don't want to know, don't listen to this. So basically, before Heaven, she was able to write very detailed skinship scenes and was not restricted because she wasn't as famous at that point. And when it went to Heaven, because of the popularity from Grandmaster and everything, and you know how it is very strict in the Chinese culture, she had to be very careful when she wrote about the skinship scenes. And so what she would do in, you know, Heaven was like the next day. You knew something happened, but it's like the next day. So in her first novel, it's very raw, and it happens in a very, very random place.
Every time you say raw, I giggle like a 5-year-old.
We all know we're children. It's fine.
So imagine, like, the earth-shattering stuff is going outside. Like, there's an earthquake, and they're stuck in, like, the most dangerous area, and they're doing it. I'm just, okay?
It's raw.
Fantastic.
Okay? You're like, sure. Good. Sure. But, yeah, so that's how it is in this novel. It's not the sexy romantic, oh, under the tree, on the side of the road, after they had life-death experiences, Grandmaster. And they love each other, you know, that kind of thing. It's more like, we had some misunderstanding. There's lots of stuff going on. Now we're stuck in this wherever thing. And the outside world is going crazy looking for us. But to make sure certain things don't happen, because, you know, that's how Sun Qingqiu has to do, is make sure he doesn't become a demon. Make sure he, like, just basically he would do anything to make sure he doesn't fall in the wrong way. And to do that, certain things have to happen in a certain place. That's
fantastic.
You know, like. It's just a weird but funny, and I kind of agree with Charles. You feel kind of like, is that okay? Like, your mind just kind of, like, stops for a second and decides, am I okay with this storyline? And you're not quite sure.
Oh, I'm ready for the follow-up.
I still feel that way. I still feel like, I'm not quite sure I'm okay with it, but I'll go with it, you know? That kind of feeling.
Wonderful.
Look forward to it, though. It's interesting. It's an interesting way of continuing the storyline.
I kind of like that, though, because he's so desperate to do whatever he needs to do for Lua Binghe to be good, and then Lua Binghe is doing anything he can for his master. So, I love it.
It's good. I'm ready.
I am just ready for more system. That's all I want. I just want more system. I love it. It kind of reminds me of the webcomic. What was it? The Vibrator?
Oh!
Something?
Dirty Vibrations.
Dirty Vibration, yeah. Because that app controls the two boys, and so I'm yes. Force them to kiss. But I'm fully ready for Lua Binghe to come back from the demon realm and just be like, okay, I'm kidnapping you, And he thinks, oh no, I'm scared, and he's going to kill me. And he's like, nope, I'm just going to keep you in this hole so I can have you.
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm fully expecting him to do. Like, you're mine now, and you can't go anywhere. I was so long without you, and now no one can have you except for me.
Is this going to be 3 volumes?
I think it's 4.
You know that he's not going to come back all sunshine and roses, because otherwise we'd only have a chapter or two left, but instead we have at least 2 more books to go.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
He's got to be angry first, and I'm ready for it.
He's allowed to be angry.
Well, at the very end, the system kept saying, you're going to lose 10,000 points if you don't do it. You're going to lose 20,000 points if you don't do it. And so they're like, okay, you got 1,000 points for doing it right, but we're resetting your points to 0 because Lu Bingho's heartbreak points went up. He's like, that's not a thing. That wasn't a thing. Heartbreak points wasn't a thing. You're just making up new points again. No, why am I back to 0?
I love it.
So good.
Yeah, it's whose line is it anyway? The points don't matter.
No, the points don't actually matter.
No, yeah.
You just don't want to go negative, like your bank account.
No, you don't want to go negative.
Yes.
So I just want to let you know, because you asked how many books. So on 7Z's website, it does say that Scumvillain is 4, and then Grandmaster's 5, and Heaven Officials is 8. OMG.
Oh my gosh.
OMG.
I didn't know what I was in for.
I'm ready.
I wanted to tell you, this is a random one, that they're actually working on the Husky and His White Cat season.
Oh, I know.
Yay.
So I am excited because I haven't read that one, and I kind of want to read that in English. So I look forward to that one.
Yes.
Let's read this one too, and we'll make a podcast.
Yes. You can expect a future episode about the Husky and his what?
Yes, the two has.
Good.
Yes.
I'm so excited. God, I thank you, 7Z's, for the blessings you have given us.
Yes.
You have been heaven's blessing.
Hey.
Nice.
Hey.
When I was on Amazon ordering, I guess it was volume 2 of Heavens, I ordered it after it came out, because I guess I thought I had pre-ordered it, but I hadn't. And it was like number 2 in some category.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's made the New York Times list. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I'm proud. I'm very proud.
So 7Z's, you hit a home run. Keep it going.
Woo!
You brought us what we wanted. Yes.
Other companies could learn from this. I'm just saying.
Right?
Yes. Very much.
Just gonna put that out there.
Gotta know your audience and know what they're craving.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Give us what we want.
Yeah, the reason I read the fan translation is because I thought the chances of these novels ever coming into English was 0.
Oh, I know.
It was very low. Like, the chances of it was very low. And I think what happened was, when they decided to create, even when they came out with The Untamed, it wasn't clarified whether or not they were going to do translations for it. Pretty much when it got so globally popular with the animation, like the Donghua, actually really, like, first, of course, Grandmaster and the second of Heaven, it became so popular that Japan was doing their own voice acting for it.
Yeah.
So it was because of that, they're like, no, we really should do official translations. And so that was really, really nice. Like, to be able to have that happen, and 7Z's picking it up. Thank you, 7Z's. And so, like, it's really nice. I, like, a lot of times for me, especially, I read a lot of Xianxia novels, and regardless of whether it's BL or not, I never seen many of them get translated officially into English.
Yeah.
It's very hard for that to happen. Yeah.
I mean, we get very few Japanese light novels, but we get more of those than we get in Chinese. So the fact that we got any Chinese light novels, I was like, is this going to even happen? But it did. I didn't even know if Netflix, like, when Netflix picked up The Untamed, I thought, whoa.
Right?
Yeah, that was a shocker.
I did not expect that.
Because it was already available in English through Viki.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess whoever owns it in China put it on YouTube as well. You could watch it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it got everywhere. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also, like, different companies on YouTube channels. I forgot which one, you know, like Youku and Tencent and all that stuff. I don't know which one picked it up. And then they're reposting them too sometimes. And then, of course, they created that special edition, the one that's like 20 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Basically, they kept going because it's so popular that it became that way. But I'm really, really happy that it's, like, now so popular here, because it's actually one of my favorite, like, Xianxia is actually one of my favorite genres. And so to be able to, like, share that with other people and say, hey, you're into this? This is like one of my favorite things to read about, you know, like about people cultivate, like they're like, what? People cultivating to become immortals? What is this? Mm-hmm. You know, like,
it was my first introduction to the world.
Yeah.
And I think this has really opened the door for future novels. I mean, we're already getting another translation by Seven Seas, so I'm excited for what else it opens the door for.
Yeah, honestly, I know there's so many other series out there that people, you know, when they draw fan art, they're like, oh, you know, I liked this and now Modal's become popular. I hope this one does too. And I hope it does too. I want to know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
The first time I ever heard or saw of it, besides Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, you know, when I was in elementary school that I don't remember and didn't understand at the time anyway, was we were all at Koi's house for something and you put on the first episode or two of the Donghua of Modazushi. And I'm glad that that's how I first saw it because I had heard of it and I was like, wait, so he's a cultivator? Does that mean like agriculture? Are they farmers?
Yes.
And if I hadn't had that primer, I would have been so lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Having watched The Untamed with you, Koi, like that weekend that we just binged it, it was so helpful for me to understand like the cultivation world. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I love this now. I want to play D&D in this world. I want to read in this world.
Right. And it's very different authors create different types of worlds for the cultivators. Like, there's different ones I create where you can have, like, when you play D&D, like, Bag of Holding, they actually have, like, where the main characters have a, like, it's not a bag of holding, but it's, like, it's kind of like Harry Potter where you have, like, a place of holding. Like, you have a house inside you that you can jump into to hide or whatever. They create really interesting items, I guess, that you can say.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a game, but it's a world of its own. And then, of course, the cultivation stuff, you know, that's really interesting. If you tell them, it's like you do hand motions and then this happens and you're like, oh, magic? No, no.
It's jujitsu. It's Naruto all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right. And they're like, oh, transportation is flying on a sword. Why are you flying on a sword? Why can't you just fly on your body?
Where's your broomstick, dude? And they're not even straddling.
Right.
Of course, it's a sword. It'd be kind of hard too.
Yeah.
It's a quite interesting genre that, you know, like, I'm so happy to share with people. I'm so happy that it's gotten so popular.
So, last question that we always ask, what other titles would you suggest to people?
So, because I'm not a big isekai consumer, I couldn't think of a lot of good titles, but if you like isekai and you like Modazushi or other kind of fantasy-ish stuff and want a crossover of that, go for it. There is a currently, so far, 10-episode animated series you can watch on YouTube through Tencent's official channel. Now, Koi, what would you call this style of animation? It's computer animated, but I guess everything is now sort of 3D-ish. What is that called?
It's not a donghua. Like, I guess they still call it donghua because it's Chinese, but it's, oh, I don't know if there's a term for it. I might have to look it up sometime.
Earlier I said CG animated, but I'm not sure that's a real term.
It might be. It might be a CG animated.
It's sort of the 3D-ish stuff. Remember Jimmy Neutron? Mm-hmm. That kind of.
What a comparison.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. You're throwing out Jimmy Neutron while talking about the scumbag animation. I cannot.
I don't want to set your expectations too high.
No, don't expect too high.
You're right. But it's just.
Just think about playing a game and then that graphic being what you're watching.
It's like a cutscene, yeah.
It's still called Donghua. It's still called Donghua, but it's a 3D animated adaptation.
It's like you're watching cutscene, the whole thing.
Think of Final Fantasy. Recent Final Fantasy games, that's that kind of thing, I guess, but not that fluid.
Quality lower than Final Fantasy.
No, definitely. Like, their clothes don't move that much. I will say it captures a lot of the humor and the system and the dynamics pretty well.
Yes.
And it goes through just short of where this first volume of the English translation ends in 10 episodes, and then I don't know when season 2 is coming out, but fairly soonish, I think. I don't know. There's been a trailer for sure. So if you want to check that out, you can. It's not pretty to look at, but it is pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because they even use like Windows sound effects, like the computer, and it's
fucking hilarious.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
I forgot they about did. That. Oh my god, that sent me laughing so hard.
Oh my god.
It's honestly, I feel like the bad animation, I mean, not that I could animate better, but like it's not top tier. It no. adds to the humor, honestly.
Yes, yes. So if you can look past it, it's really fun to watch.
Yeah. Just, you have to get used to it. It's basically what Ruby fans say to people, which I still didn't get used to that, but that's neither here nor there. I also don't, well, okay, earlier I said I've watched more isekai than I care to admit, and now I'm about to say I don't watch that much isekai. There is no perfect balance. I would say, if you just want a series that's gay and funny and more than you thought it would be, and not isekai, because again, there's just not a lot of BL isekai out there.
No.
I think Dick Fight Island.
Oh,
because
yeah.
it's not what you expect.
That's a good one.
Because it is very funny, it's very good, but then, like, the plot is not completely porn without plot or anything like that. Like, there's actually a storyline, and it's actually really good, and you're like, oh, shit, I'm into this. So that would be my recommendation.
For me, of course, if you really like this author, I would recommend the other novels. If you haven't read Grandmaster and Heaven Official's Blessing, then those are definitely the recommendations that I would make. Now, to isekai stuff, you know Koi. Koi loves live action stuff, so I watch a lot of live action. There's two live actions that I will recommend. One of them is actually not a BL. It's a normal female-male character romance. It's a Korean show. It's actually, depending on where you watch it, it could be 32 episodes, 30 minutes per episode, or it's a 1-hour episode, 16 episodes. The title is called Extraordinary You, but actually it's a pun. It's called Extraordinary You. Because the main character, she thinks she's like the boss in the very beginning. Like she's like the popular girl, rich, has lots of friends, have many guys after her. And then she starts to like realize time jumps. Like she's in high school and time's jumping. And she hears like page turning. And then she starts to realize she's actually a character in a comic book. And then so she's like, oh, I'm a character. But then it took her a while to, you know, settle into that role. And then she thought she was the main character. She realized she's an extra.
Oh, no.
So that's why it's called Extra. And so it's very interesting. The concept is really cool. Like, whenever the author writes her in a scene, she has to follow what the author does. Like, she cannot go out of her character. You'll literally hear her mind saying, why am I saying these cheesy lines? I hate this. You know, but, like, she has to say what the author does. And then the way that they film it is really cool is because, like, it kind of makes it, like, the coloring of that scene when it's controlled by the author is a different coloring. And then when she's not being controlled by the author, it's a natural color. So I like the way that they filmed it, and the idea is really interesting. So I was like, oh, this is a cool storyline. So I recommend that one a lot. It's fun. And, you know, it's an extra. And so her storyline is that she's an extra, and she has a heart disease. And so she's meant to die. And so now she has to fight for destiny to survive. But then she's also, like, paired up with people, and she doesn't want to be with a certain person. Like, it's really funny. It's actually quite funny to watch in the beginning. And then it gets super drama, very serious stuff later. So that's one of them. The second one, I highly, highly recommend people check it out, because it's basically almost like a ripoff, but lots of fans of Scumvillain loves it, and they recommend it. It's 先尊, 你今天洗白了吗? That's the Chinese title. And then in English is 先尊, whitewash today. And, like, the way that they say whitewash is, like, clear, like, white out, meaning, like, have you been cleared today? And it's exactly the same storyline where the main guy is reading something online, and he's like, oh, this story, like, he reads to the very ending. He's like, what is wrong with this storyline? He's, like, complaining about it. And then he gets zapped into the world and becomes this, like, Xianzun is the master of the one that's going to become a demon. So very similar storyline, but it's, like, 3-minute episodes. And 25 episodes. So, like, watching a 3-minute episode web series, very short.
I like that, though.
Very, very easy to watch. Like, and it gets straight to point. You don't have to even watch any extra scenes. You're like, oh, okay, straight to the point storyline. And then, of course, it's, like, really meant for BL Fujoshi lovers, because there's, like, lots of scenes where they're pairing the main characters together. It's, like, meant for us. It's literally Scumvillain replica of it. So it's on YouTube with English subtitles, and it's also on Bilibili. And I think if people watch stuff on Drama Cool or something like that, I think it's also on there. But basically, there's lots of places.
And I'll add a link to that one because we have you have to type in the Chinese characters to pull up the episode. If you look in the episode notes of this episode, you should be able to see the link.
Mm-hmm. So those are my two recommendations.
Okay, so I had to pick three because I'm extra and I couldn't narrow it down. And each of them are a different part of Scum Villain that I think represents. So there's only one isekai for BL that I can think of. And that is, of course, Titan's Bride.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, it's an isekai, but it has a total different flavor and mood. But it is a comedy, it is an isekai, so if that's what you're looking for, Titan's Bride is an isekai. A book, a novel that I enjoyed that isn't set in the Chinese kind of high fantasy style, but it's set in like European fantasy style. And it's a comedy, and it's ridiculous. It's not an isekai, but it's hilarious. And some of y'all here can attest to that as you've read it. Red Air by Lisa Henry and Sarah Honey. Hilarious. Stupid fun. It's a great book. You're going to die laughing. Highly suggest it. Super fun. And all of the sequels, too, because the sequels are really good, too.
They are. I will agree with that.
The last suggestion I had is actually a Japanese live-action TV series that I still have yet to find another series that made me laugh like it did. It's just so funny. It's so relatable if you are really into BL and you're a high-level Fujin and just trying to hide your power levels from your friends because you're extra. This show is made for you. You need to watch this because it's, I feel called out. But yes! It's a man who defies the world of BL. It's a guy who has realized that he's in a BL universe and all of his friends are pairing up and getting together and stuff. And he's worried for his younger brother. And he keeps on trying not to be pulled into a BL because he knows he's in a BL and he's like, I don't want to be, I don't know. I like girls and I don't want to be pulled into this. How do I avoid the interaction that's typical in BL? So like there'll be a popsicle and he'll break it and he goes, do you want one? And he goes, no.
He's like, I have to leave first from this outing because whoever gets left here with that other guy, they're going to end up together.
Yes.
Because of rules. And so I always leave first.
Yeah. I can't take him home. Yes. I can't take him home because that's how stuff happens. Oh my God. I've read BL.
I remember watching the trailer of that show and was like, I'm in love and this is cracking me up. Like, if you're not sure if you want to watch this, watch the trailer and it will tell you. You literally would be like, oh my God, I have to see this.
Yeah, it's necessary.
And it's pretty similar to the one Koi recommended too, because he thinks he's an extra. Like, his whole family are extras. In fact, his name is Extra, basically. His name is Mob, because they call the cast of characters in the background that you don't know, that's called the Mob. So he's referred to as Mob. And the song, the opening song is, I am Mob, I'm an extra. And so he's not worried about his brother because his whole family is mobs until one day something happens. But yes, that show is so funny.
And it's short.
It is.
It's not long.
It's so hilarious.
Yeah, it is. And because it's sort of fourth wall breaking-ish, it does kind of feel a little like an isekai.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He is like the system, sort of, because he's describing in his head, he's like, oh no.
Very self-aware.
We love it when characters are self-aware. It makes it more hilarious, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It really does.
And actually, Izora, you recommending Red Air, that sparked my memory that Lightning Struck Heart by T.J. Klune is another fantasy, but it is pretty cracked out, and it feels like an isekai because they speak and do things that are like this time period, but it's set in an old time period. But anyway, so there's a lot of, like, it feels a little bit like
anachronistic.
That. Yes, totally anachronistic. So that makes it feel a little isekai-ish, but without the self-awareness. But yeah. Man Who Defies the World of BL, so funny.
It's a great recommendation.
My personal favorite recommendation, so go listen. So I think that's it. I hope we gave you guys some more things to go check out. I hope you enjoyed Scum Villain. And when we finish this series, we're going to have another episode. We're also probably going to review The new novel that is called The Husky.
Yeah, or Ha is the Chinese, because Ha is dog, like they use it as a dog, so it's like two dogs. But basically, it's The Husky and His White Cat Sizun. So Husky in Chinese is Ha Qi Si.
Oh, okay.
That's how you say it. So it's like Ha is why people say Tu Ha, is because of the dog, the Husky, and His White Cat Sizun. So it's a dog and a cat, kind of like.
Is that one of the live actions that's in the precarious position right now because of China's ordinance?
Uh-huh. Because they actually already started like filming it and everything.
A long time ago.
I don't know if they're going to air it or not.
It has to be done by now.
I'm really sad because the main characters that they picked for it are really great actors that I love. And so I'm really sad that they're probably not going to air it anytime soon, if they will ever air it.
No!
And especially that they look so good in their outfits. And there's a lot of, you know, fans always film behind the scenes stuff. And there's a lot of behind the scenes like action. And they seem to be very, we call it CP, which is like couple. Their couple like pairing is very high. And so their interactions were really cute. So I was looking forward to it. But we'll see. We'll see.
Ugh.
Who knows? Miracles have happened. Sublime and Seven Seas have brought them to us. So
well, that's at least true. We can probably start with the novel first. And if it does become a TV series and it comes out, of course, I will share with my other BL Garden friends. And then we will make more of it with you guys and talk about it. There's definitely a lot of BL web series that's being made into live action right now. Heaven is also being made into live action. And they look great in their outfits.
Yep.
Oh, they were so cool. So I'm hoping that that one doesn't get turned down either, because they were pretty much almost done filming. And then there's also...
I hope Scumvillain gets one.
Scumvillain hasn't been set to be picked up. But there's one that's a very...
similar.
Yeah.
Sapolang. And that's also kind of on hold. I don't know what's going on over there. They need to stop whatever is going on over there. They just give me my shows. But yeah, there's a lot.
But until we know, there's more to come. We will always review things because we enjoy reading them and talking about them anyway.
All right. Well, I think that's it. So thank you guys for joining us. As always, we appreciate you guys listening to us and supporting us. Please check out our Twitter. And I think that's it.
Bye.
See you next time.
Media Do International and publisher Kabuncha have released mangaka Tomoe Sasahara's BL digital titles, the comedy Professor Strangelove, and the spin on a fairy tale, Legend of Mad BL Momotaro. And 801 has an exclusive giveaway from Sasahara Sensei, also known as author Chie Sasahara. We're giving away one signed shikishi from the manga creator. To enter the giveaway, you must be 18 years or older and a U.S. resident. You can go to www.blgardendfw.com/801xmediado to enter. Good luck.
Thank you so much to Media Do for sponsoring today's episode. We'd also like to thank our patrons: Barb Colt, Christina Coleman, Joy Kiss, Ray, Crystal Marie, Embo Snoodler, Carlise Williams, Puck, CJ, Angie Fick, Marina Carlson, Anna, BL Compilations, Kendra Lawrence, Kezizi, and Courtney Brocker. We love you always. Thank you so much.
Scumvillain is very funny. It's more hilarical, like hysterical, hilarious, but
hilarious. That's,
I love that
we're
word.
Now using that.
That's going at the end of this.